Well, at some point, most of us will likely hit a wall. You've got too much to do. You feel like you're drowning. You feel like you just can't take it anymore. If you find yourself there, thankfully, modern culture has a real feel-good message for you to the rescue. If you're an exhausted mom and you're raising toddlers and you got diapers up to your ears, you know what I'm talking about, and you feel like you're never going to have a life, you can read the latest blog for moms. It'll tell you, remember, girl, you are enough. Or if you're fighting to stay alive financially, and it seems like every month there's way more month than there is money, well, the good news is you can look at your favorite influencer who will tell you you have what it takes. If you find yourself, you're just discouraged, you're overwhelmed, you're depressed, you're battling with anxiety, have no fear, cause you can find a motivational podcast that'll tell you you are complete just the way you are. Because it seems like everywhere you turn today in culture, you hear the message, good news, you are enough, you have what it takes, you are enough, you're perfect just the way you are. You're enough, culture says. So believe in yourself. You've got this. You have what it takes. You define your worth. Hey, you're in control. You write your own story. You are perfect just the way you are. And you want to believe that because that feels good. You want to believe that you're good enough, that you're smart enough, that you're talented enough, that you're good enough, that you're strong enough. But why don't you feel like you're enough? The reason that you don't feel like you're enough is because you're not enough. I mean, not even close to enough. And more accurately, if I could say it from a theological standpoint, without Christ, you are not enough. Without Jesus, you're not even close to enough. Maybe you say, okay, I get it from a theological standpoint. If we're talking Bible stuff, okay, from that perspective, I get it that I'm not enough. But what's the big deal if I want to just encourage myself and believe that I have what it takes? I'm perfect the way I am. What's wrong with believing that I am enough? And admittedly, culture lie sounds good, feels true, but it's not true. And I would suggest that it's actually a very dangerous false gospel where the Savior is you. And the Apostle Paul warns us in Scripture in Colossians chapter 2. He says this. He says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from two places. Where the first place is from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. Don't let anyone take you captive with the empty philosophies, the high-sounding nonsense that come from the lies of man and from the pit of hell, from the lies of human beings and from the powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ, Scripture says, lives, we have all the fullness of God in a human body. So, you also are complete not on your own, not in your own strength, not by your own power, but you are complete through your union with Christ. On your own, you're not enough. On your own, you're not complete. The only way we are made complete is through our union with Christ. On the one hand, when you think, okay, I gotta be enough. And then you realize I wasn't enough. What happens? You feel guilty and you feel ashamed and you feel like a failure. And because you're not enough, you try so hard to be enough. You take your eyes off God and you put them on yourself. Or on the other side of the extreme, culture says you're enough. You have what it takes. You're enough. And so you start to believe, well, maybe I am enough. Then you start to believe that you are the source of your joy. And you're the source of your strength. And you're the source of your success, which is dangerous because then you take your eyes off of God again and you put it on yourself. And here's the problem. When you believe you're enough, you won't seek the one who is. When you believe you're the source of everything you need to be successful in this life, when you believe you're enough, you won't seek the one who is. So let's talk about the one who is. And before we do that, just how not enough we actually are. Because here's a problem. A lot of us, when we think, okay, I'm going to look at my life and I know that I've messed up. I know I've made some mistakes, but I'm not that bad. And you may compare yourself to other people, like that girl that I work with. Oh man, I mean, I'm way, way better than her. And we have to remind ourselves what God's word says about who we are without Christ. And I got to warn you, this is the part that doesn't feel good, but it's very, very true. Without Christ, what does God's word say we are? Let me show you. Without Christ, we are dead in our sins, says Ephesians chapter 2. Without Christ, we are without hope and without help. Without Christ, we are foolish and deceived and slaves to sin. Without Christ, we are spiritually blind. Without Christ, Scripture says, we are wretched and miserable. Without Christ, the Bible says, we are ignorant and separated from the life of God. And get ready for this. If you think it hadn't gotten bad, buckle up your seatbelt, because it gets really ugly. Without Christ, we are objects of wrath and destined for destruction. Welcome to church, where I'm here to make you feel good about yourself. I don't make this stuff up. It's just in the Bible. You may say, but okay, I'm not that bad. I'm not a bad person. I have a good heart. I do good things. Remember what Scripture says. Romans 3:10 tells us that no one on their own, no one is righteous, not even one. All of us, including you, including me, have turned away. No one does good, not a single one. Without Christ, we are dead in our sins and objects of wrath. Now, when it comes to our sin, we don't like to talk about that. Culture, you know, says I made a mistake, but not a sin. You know, when it comes to our sin, we like to think that we're not that bad. And I want to say that we are worse than we can imagine. If we compare ourselves to some people, we may feel better, but when we compare ourselves to the holiness of God, our sin is horrific. And I want to try to explain it this way. We have to realize that our sin isn't just a legal or a spiritual offense against a holy and a judicial God. You see, it's not just like I broke the law and I sinned against a holy God. There was a legal offense against a holy and a judicial God. It's so much more than that. It's actually also a personal offense against a very, very relational God who loves you. It's different. It's not just a legal offense. It's relational. And I think I can explain it to you this way. Imagine if you get a speeding ticket. You're going too fast. You don't hurt the police officer's feelings when you do that. Why? Because you broke the law. It's legal. It's not personal. You'll never hear a police officer crying like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sad. You hurt my feelings. You were going 85 in a 65. I don't know if I ever know." You're never going to hear that, right? Because you broke legal. You broke the law. It wasn't personal. But if you sin against your spouse, it's very, very personal. It may not be just like a legal offense, but it's very, very personal. Like a lady said about her husband, you know, was living a whole lie, the whole thing, cheating and on and on and on. And she said, "He didn't just break our vows, he broke my heart." And this is what we have to understand about God. When we sin against him, it's not just a legal offense, it's relational. It's personal because he loves you so much. We're not just breaking his laws, we're actually breaking his heart. And you say, "Okay, well, I get it. I suck. We all suck. We sin. Why tell me this? I'm kind of having a hard day. I like a pick-me-up at church. Why are you going to tell me I'm depraved? I'm objects of wrath," okay? The reason is because of this. To fully treasure what you have in Christ, you need to remember what you were without him. To truly value and understand the depths of his grace, we need to remember what we were long before he saved us. And I can't speak for you, but when I look back to who I was before Christ, it was not pretty. It's remembering my brokenness and my sinfulness that reminds me of God's goodness and his kindness and his forgiveness. And so I want to encourage you to take a moment and embrace your not enoughness. You're not enough. You'll never be enough. You weren't designed to be enough. You can't be enough. And this is actually not bad news. The truth is, it's really, really good news. The good news is, you don't have to be enough. In fact, if you are in Christ, this is for those of you that have been born anew by the Spirit of God. If you're in Christ, Ephesians 2 tells us this. The Bible tells us that once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of this unseen world. All of us used to live that way. following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. Scripture says, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, who is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you're saved. It's only by His grace. It's only by the grace of God. It's never by our own efforts, our own religious inclination, by our own righteousness. It's only by grace. And here's where we mess it up. In the church, a lot of you would think it would go something like this. Imagine you're in the ocean and you're drowning. And you think, okay, here's what happened. God came along in a boat and God reached down His hand and He grabbed me. And God pulled me toward the boat and I pulled myself in the boat. God did His part and I did my part. Now I'm in God's boat. That's not how it works. The truth of the matter is, if you're in the water, you're already dead. You're face down in the water. There's no bubbles coming up. You're dead, floating in the water. And God comes along and He reaches out and He completely pulls you up. Then when He pulls your dead self into the boat, He brings you back to life. In other words, He did everything. You did nothing. He did it all. We didn't do any of this. This is how good He is. And some of you today, you're hitting that wall. It's too much. It's a family issue that you can't handle. And you don't know what to do. It's a weight. It's a burden. It's anxiety. It's depression. It's fear. You're overwhelmed and you don't know what to do. Why? Some of you, here's why. You walked in spiritually dead. You don't have Christ. You don't have the faith for it because you're not spiritually alive. But God, who is so rich in mercy and loves you so much, brought you here not by accident, but to speak a word of life, a word of truth, a word of faith, a word of hope, to bring that which is dead back to life again. And that may be exactly what God wants to do for you. You're not enough. You'll never be enough. You can't be enough. You weren't designed to be enough. But when you're in Christ, when He is the source of all you need, you have a different type of confidence. 2 Corinthians 3:4 says this, such is the confidence that we have not in our own effort, not in our own completeness, not in our own trying, not because we listen to the motivational thing and we can do it. We only have this confidence through Christ, toward God. Not that we are ever sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God and from God alone. He's everything that we need, and that's why we call on Him. So I want to speak directly to those of you who just feel like you're overwhelmed. You don't know how much more you can take. There's something on your mind. There's something on your heart. You need help. You're tired of pretending. You're tired of trying to look like you have it all together. I want to encourage you to do something that you may have never done before. I want to encourage you to embrace your not enoughness. You were made to need Jesus. And what do we know about who he is? The good news is, let me show you. The good news is that you may be helpless, but Scripture tells us that Jesus is your helper. The Word of God tells us, 2 Corinthians, that when you're weak, Jesus is actually your strength. If you walked in today, or you're watching online, and you're depressed, I came to tell you that Jesus is your hope. When you're exhausted, Jesus says, "Come to me if you're weary and heavy laden, and I will be your rest." If you're anxious, Scripture says, hey, you can cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. When you're anxious, Jesus is your peace. When you're struggling financially, Jesus is the one who provides everything that you need according to his riches and glory. When you're hurting, who is he? Jesus is your comforter. And whenever you're in bondage, Jesus is the Savior who sets you free. This is how much God loves you. He is rich in mercy. He doesn't make you do it on your own. He created you to need him. He completes you. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. So, this is the application. This is the question that I want you to ask. This question. We're going to talk about it over lunch or supper or whatever it is. And here's the application question. I want you to ask, in what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of God? In what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of God? Maybe you're trying to figure out your future. And if I do this and if I do that, maybe it's your kids. And you've got this spiritual gift of control. I'm going to make them. I'm going to try to control whatever it is. It might be a financial situation. It's the health of a very, very dear friend. In what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of God? And then ask yourself this. What is God calling you to do about it? What's he calling you to do about it? Because we don't just hear the word, but we're doers of the word. We're going to live out what God teaches us. Maybe it's to surrender. Maybe it's to confess your need for him. Maybe it's to invite someone else in to help. Maybe it's to turn over some area of your life. Maybe it's to get others to come in and join you in prayer. I don't know what it is, but what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of God? And what is God calling you to do about it? So, if you're hurting, if you're overwhelmed, if you realize, I'm not enough, I can't be enough, I don't have enough. I'll never be enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not righteous enough. What do you do? Let me tell you what you do. You call on the one who is more than enough. You call on the one who is more than enough. You call on him. When you call on God, God loves it when you need him. He designed you to need him. Call on him. Call on him. And when you do, what does he do? Scripture tells us, when you call on the Lord, here's what he does. He says, call to me. And God says, I will answer you. God's word says, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Scripture says in Psalm 145 that the Lord is near to all who do what? All who call on Him. When I'm in distress, what do? I call to you. And I love this verse. Everyone, listen to me. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how dark your life is, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be transformed, will be forgiven, will be made new. The old is gone, and behold, you become new. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's really good news. It's good news. If you've got too much, it's good news. You weren't designed to be enough. You're not enough. You don't have to be enough. You'll never be enough. And so instead, you depend on the one who is. His power is made perfect, where the Bible says, in your weakness. His power is made perfect in your weakness. His power is made perfect exactly where you need it. How big is His power? His power is bigger than your stress. His power is bigger than your fears. For my God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. His power is bigger than your anxiety. Cast all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. His power is bigger than a rebellious child. His power is bigger than your worst mistake. His power is bigger than your dumbest financial decision. His power is bigger than a number on a scale. You aren't defined by that number. You're defined by who He says you are. His power is bigger than a betrayal, is bigger than a letdown. His power is bigger than the divorce that left you broken. His power is bigger than the miscarriage that sidelines you. His power is bigger than the diagnosis that keeps you awake at night. Our God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than all you can ask, think, or imagine, according to His power that is at work within you, the body of Christ, so that He would be praised for generations to come. His power is made perfect in your weakness. Wherever you're not enough, that's where His perfect power shows up. You could never be enough, but you're always loved. Because He is enough, you are loved. You are rescued. You are accepted. You are chosen, and you are forgiven, and you are adopted, and you are freed, and you are redeemed, and you are restored. And you are renewed, and you can be all things not on your own because you're not complete. But through Christ, who gives you strength, we are not enough. I am not enough. You are not enough. But Jesus is more than enough. So whatever you're carrying today, call on Him. Call on Him. When you call on Him, He'll draw near. When you call on Him in your weakness, His power is made perfect. So application, in what area of your life, in what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of God? Now, what is God calling you to do about it? Let us pray. Father, we need You. Speak to us. Guide our steps. Give us the mind of Christ, God. Stretch our faith to trust in You, God. Thank You We thank you so much that you're such a good God, that in your mercy and your love, you didn't leave us, that you sent Jesus, that you are enough. And God, we pray for every single person with a burden on their heart today. God, pray for everyone that needs a touch, that at this moment that your grace would be exactly what they need. God, meet them and build their faith. God, show them your love, your presence, your power. Be their comfort. God, anytime we're depending on ourselves instead of calling on you, anytime we're trying to figure it out ourselves instead of depending on you, God, just draw us back. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.